ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 354th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons prevailed over the Seattle Seahawks today, 27-23. They needed an interception from Richie Grant to protect the win after a turnover gave the ball back to the Seahawks, but they couldn't get it into the end zone. The Falcons unleashed a pass rush that saw sacks from Lorenzo Carter and Grady Jarrett to help hold off the Seattle Seahawks today here in Seattle at Lumen Field. Falcons coach Arthur Smith wanted to discuss the defense.
Zoe got one early in the drive, and it felt like a heavyweight fight. D-Led, that's a good football team, and I've got the utmost respect for Pete Carroll and his staff, and we knew it was going to be a tough environment. It's one of the better environments in all of sports. Coming up here to Seattle on the road, it's just loud. I mean, they've got a reputation, and they were on brand today. And so, for the most part, D-Led is never perfect. We talk about progress. There's a lot of things we can clean up. There's a lot of things I can do better, but very happy to get a win.
Yeah, no question about it. The Falcons were driving to put this thing away. They had a game-winning drive with 6:42 going left in the game. Then we heard the announcement. NFL security orders that the field be cleared. So the Falcons are driving there. You know, they got the ball. They got the lead. They could run out the clock and get the W. But then there's about a seven-minute delay for the drone to be cleared out of the no-fly zone by NFL security, which in effect gave Seattle a timeout, you know. But nobody was fussing about it afterwards. Safety was important. So Arthur Smith didn't complain about it. But two plays later, or actually on the third play, Marcus Mariota and Tyler Algier had a fumble exchange there. And Seattle got the ball back. And, you know, so now Seattle's got the ball. They're down four. They got a score. So they get down. You know, Lorenzo Carter gets a sack. They come back and they start driving. They get down to the 24. And then Grady Jarrett busts through and gets a sack on third and eight. So then it's fourth and 18. So, you know, they got to take a shot to the end zone or at least get 18 yards. Geno Smith was flushed out of the pocket. More pressure. Then he got over to the right and threw it up, and Richie Grant came down with the interception. But here's what Coach Arthur Smith had to say about the drone situation.
Yeah, all they told us was a drone, and I've probably read too many CIA fiction thrillers, maybe too many Brad Thor books, something. So I'm looking up, and they're telling me to get on the sideline, and there's a drone. So. Some interesting thoughts going through your head when they told us to go to the bench, but luckily nothing happened.
Yeah, they didn't. But one of the big things today, you know, a lot was made of Kyle Pitts' targets early in the season here. He had seven in the first game, had four in the second game, four catches. Came into this game with four catches for 34 yards. And they went to him on the first play of the game. He went deep. They threw a bomb. Marcus Mariota overthrew him, but he ended up with five catches for 87 yards, most of it all in the first half. Then, you know, with them opening things up, that allowed the running attack to get going. Here's what Coach Arthur Smith had to say on the rushing attack.
Thought we'd have a little more access there for some of the other guys, and so there's some things we want to do early, and we're never going to, you know, stay with it. And it was cool to watch those guys finish the game. We needed a first, and hats off to the offense and CP for finishing it up.
Yeah, CP, that's Cordarrelle Patterson. He ran for a career-high 141 yards on 17 carries. That's 8.3 yards, a tote. You know, things weren't going so well for him in the first half, but then it opened up. in the second half as, you know, the line kept leaning on those big guys up front for Seattle. And Patterson broke loose for a 40-yard gain there to slipped out the back door. And there's a good picture up on AJC.com. The key blocks were, Patterson said they were from Avery Williams and Felipe Franks. And I was like, oh, I got to see that. And Felipe, the converted quarterback's out there blocking on the big play of the game. So, you know, here is Cordarrelle Patterson discussing how, you know, after they went from L.A. to Seattle, how they didn't want to come home without a W.
Yeah, we just hungry, man. You know, I did an interview earlier. I was telling the guy, man, Coach let all of us speak last night. You know, everybody said some good stuff. And, you know, to come out and get that win, you know, we've been away for 8 days. You know, I told him, ain't no way I'm coming home without an L, man. And, you know, my family would kill me if I come home from been gone that long and lose. But, no, it was great, man. I just appreciate every guy in this locker room. Just not everybody in this locker room. The whole organization, man, they really don't know it. The work everybody else put in, go to video, you know, and nutrition, and trainers. It's just so much going to work, but they only see us guys on Sunday. So we just got to take our hats off to everybody in this organization.
Yep. And he wanted to also give, kudos to his offensive linemen. Here's what he had to say.
At first, man, they did a heck of a job. You know, I feel like they knew what we was going to do. But, you know, the offensive line, they stepped up big. And they stepped up big each and every week, man. And I couldn't do it without the offensive lines, man. I got high praise for those guys and unbelievable work, you know, what Coach Ladd do for them boys. And just each and every day, they really work harder than everybody on this team.
Yep, no doubt. The linemen paved the way for the 141. Overall, the Falcons rushed 31 times for 179. 5.8 yards a carry, the long of 40, two touchdowns. The one 17-yard touchdown run by Patterson and a 1-yard touchdown run by Marcus Mariota. Marcus also was proficient today in the pass game as he was 13 of 20 for 229 yards, one touchdown. It was a dandy there to Drake London and the one touchdown for and one interception, but that was on Coach Smith. He said he got greedy with 5 seconds left before halftime and got picked off, almost returned for a touchdown, but Parker Hesse made the tackle. Marcus's passer rating was 99.8 for the day. Here's what Marcus Mariota had to say about the win.
Oh, huge, huge. You know, to start 0-2 is always tough. You kind of dig yourself in a little bit of a hole. But it says a lot about our guys, their ability to bounce back, and that was a huge win for us.
And, you know, the Falcons came out throwing. They were spreading it around and you know, went to Kyle Pitts a lot early. We were counting them off on Twitter on the passes that went his way. It's a couple overthrows in one series. He had them open on one. The other one, there might have been a really, really tight fit. But, yeah, so he only had 7 incompletions. 3 of them were to Kyle. 3 were overthrows, you know, understandably on one. But the other 2 were missed throws by Marcus Mariota. But, you know, those passes, you know, kind of had to back them safeties up. If, you know, they started creeping up into the run game, you know, they would have been able to go back over the top again and maybe connect. So that was important. And we talked to Marcus. And how the passing game opened things up for the run game.
Yeah, and that's sometimes how it's got to be, right? You know, Seattle did a great job early on of kind of boxing us in, and we made some plays in the passing game. Once you're able to do that, it loosens it up. And our guys up front did a great job of just kind of pushing that line of scrimmage. And we found some ways to break runs and really break the game open for us.
Now, you know, they're going in to close it out. And then you got, you know, you get the drone stoppage. Then you got to go start it back up for security reasons. So, and then you get the fumble. So we wanted to know from Marcus, you know, what happened on the fumbled exchange between him and Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, that's on me. You know, in that situation, just being smarter with the football. Selfishly, I was trying to go close it myself. You know, I thought I could have got around the corner there. But it's all part of this learning process. We got a young back. And this is my third game again for a couple years. And, you know, those are processes. Those are things that we'll continue to grow on and things we'll work at.
All right. He said he was trying to pull it out. That's basically what he was saying on the RPO. He was trying to be the hero there and, you know, left the ball on Algiers' hip. Now, there was a big event here this week. We, you know, Elijah Wilkerson had to leave the team to attend to a personal matter, missed practice on Thursday and Friday. They declared him out, let him go handle that and take care of the personal matter. And so Colby Gassett got the start. It was his sixth career start in the NFL. Started four games with the Cardinals a few years back. Did not play in 2020 because of COVID. He's got a kidney, genetic kidney situation that he didn't want to risk it. You know, missed the game. There's a good story, feature story there from this guy from Cumming, Georgia, North Forsyth, Appalachia State. You know, he was coached up there by the offensive line coach, Dwayne Ledford. So, Colby started today and looked good in there at left guard. You know, that was a good showing by him. And he helped with the run game, too. He was good in pass protection. Watched him play, focused on him about five plays of a game. And he was stout. He was stout up in there. He was getting after it. And so we wanted to discuss the play of the offensive line with Colby Gassett.
I mean, like I said, it's just resiliency. I mean, you could say that for the entire team. This offensive line is incredibly tight. We play really well together, and I'm excited to see what we can do for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, he's excited to see what they can do. And we talked to Gossett about, hey, when the running game goes off, what is it like for the linemen?
I mean, that's just a part of being offensive linemen. I mean, we're going to sit there, and we're going to hammer away and chip away until we can bring one off.
Well, they got some. They got a couple. They busted them loose here against the Seattle Seahawks, who are, you know, respectfully, they're not the Legion of Boom anymore. But, you know, they still play tough. That's Pete Carroll's guys. He's on about his third and second-generation defensive coordinator, Clint Hurt. You know, the Falcons and the Seahawks are in that same cycle. You know, both of them were perennial playoff teams. And they're not anymore. You know, they're trying to find some players and build it back up. We did a couple of the highlights. We did Mariota and Patterson. So you know about their work here. His 40-yard rush in the third quarter marked the longest carry as a Falcon and the sixth 40-plus yard run of his career. So he's got big playability. Tyler Algier had 25 yards on six carries. We gave you Pitts 5 for 87. Sunday marked the fourth time Pitts' career that he's had more than 85 yards receiving. Drake London, he had 3 receptions here. We look, Drake, 3 of 6 targets, 54 yards, and the touchdown. He had a long of 30. So that's still pretty solid by the rookie. Alamide Zacchaeus had 2 for 49. And those are the offensive highlights for us. We'll come back and do the defensive ones after we hear from Jake Matthews and Grady Jarrett and Richie Grant on his interception. But for now, this is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, now we're back from break here. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, episode 354. And I was looking on my memories yesterday. This is the sixth season because the episode 8 was 5 years ago. So that would have been the first year. So we're 6 years deep into the Bowtie Chronicles, and we. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for following us on Twitter. And, you know, just get used to getting us some questions on Twitter after the game. you know, as the season progresses. We are bringing back the Falcons fan mailbag here the last couple of weeks, and we'll have some questions here at the end for you. Caught Jake Matthews out by the food stand. He was filling his bag up for the plane. That's a no-no now. They said they want us to get him in the locker room. But I'm like, I'm cool with Jake. He doesn't mind. But, you know, I guess we got a new rule here I got to follow. But here's what Jake had to say about the offensive line and the game and getting the big W.
How did the running game, y'all stay with it and pop for y'all? Was that as a lineman, I had to feel good?
Yeah, no, it felt really good. First and foremost, you know, pulling out, getting a win, coming into a, you know, incredible environment like this and finding a way to win. But that's part of running the ball. You'd love to gash them for 30 yards each time and the whole game, but you got to work at it, and it takes time eventually to wear a defense down. So I'm happy with how we stuck with it, and it paid off in the end.
And what does it mean getting a win after two close calls like that?
Yeah, like I said, there's no better feeling, because in this profession, man, it's so hard to win. Everyone is talented. Every team can go out there any day and upset, I guess you'd say, another team. But no, I'm proud of us, because we stayed here all week. We had a really good plan. We stuck to it. We stayed together as a team and grew closer and came out with a win. So yeah, it feels good to get this thing rolling.
Well, all right, you know, I think I mentioned this after the Saints game when they had the sacks and so forth. But I was like, hey, when they needed a sack, they didn't get it. Well, today, when they needed a sack, they needed pressure, they got it. But Tyquan Graham was active. Lorenzo Carter was active. And then Grady comes out with a big sack on third down. I mean, I used to see that all the time with Reggie White and Sean Jones. They got to protect the game. They got to get the offense didn't get to close it out for whatever reason. You know, in this case, you got a drone involved and NFL security and a fumble. So, you know, all that happened. But Grady and the defense were not there and got after it. And he got out with a big sack on third down and 8. You know, that was huge for the Falcons. Dropped Geno Smith. Here's what Grady had to say about closing out the game and getting the win.
We definitely had to go out there and close it out, and you know, we just had to respond. We said we talked to each other last night on the team and how we got to play complimentary football, and we had the offenses back when they made a mistake because they put some points up for us when we were struggling. So came through at the end and got a nice sack on third down, and we got a nice pick by Richie Grant on fourth down. So defense came through and helped the team get a win today, but it took a team effort.
Yeah, now defense, you know, wasn't their better outings. The Seahawks put up 420 yards on them, 282 in the first half. So, you know, that's a lot of yardage. They were doing some different things. You know, they had three linebackers in there running kind of a 4-3 over. I'm going to have to hit up some of my defensive people here. I'm like, hey, what are they doing with these linebackers? Troy Anderson was in there with Rashawn Evans and Michael Walker. And hey, what are they doing with the linebackers? It looks like a 4-3 over or under. Yeah, it's a 4-3 over, and Desperation, he's playing like a 4-3 over stack with the middle linebacker on the tight end. So they were worried about these tight ends because Disley caught one. Parkinson got open deep on a play action on 3-and-1. So they know Geno liked to go to his tight ends, so that's what they were trying to combat, trying to stop the run and stop those tight ends with this 43. You know, the Falcons are a 3-4 base team, but they came up with some things, options, some different formations to help slow down the Seattle offense. So that's what Coach Arthur Smith told me in the offseason, like, hey, I was like, what are y'all going to do with Deion? You know, that's two more weeks down the road. And I was like, hey, how are y'all going to play Anderson? He's like, well, if they can play, that's going to give Dean Pease a lot of options. So we saw some of those options today with the 4-3 under. I didn't know if it was under or shade. It was a 4-3 over, but it was I didn't know if it was under or shade because they played Anderson inside of the defensive end, which was a BQT. So, you know, I reached out to my former pros and they, you know, I was like, hey, what's this? And they were always willing to help and everything. So that's where we're at with the defense and so forth. And Grady Jarrett, the run, he was, let's look at the numbers here. Well, yeah, 4.9, that's too much. Yep, sure did. Rashard Penny got out early. Looked like he was on his big day. DJ Dallas from Georgia, former AJC Super 11. Kenny Walker, the second-round pick from Michigan State, 3 for 19. But they 23 for 112 overall, 4.9. So we asked Grady about the run defense.
We definitely try to find an answer for it. They got going early hot with Penny, and we knew that they was going to come down, trying to run downhill. We tried to make some adjustments, and we made some, but they still got a little too much on the ground today. We got to be better, definitely, across the board against the run. And but at the end of the day, we got the win, and that's what counts.
All right, no doubt about it. So I wanted to talk to Richie Grant, the Falcons safety, who came up with the big play at the end of the game, and we wanted to have Richie describe to us his interception. We got a video of one-on-one with Richie talking about the play and how Jalen Hawkins, told him to sit down and so forth. Here's what Richie had to say about the interception.
First off, man, we got some great pressure. Those couple downs before the interception, got some great pressure. I think my boy Lorenzo, I think he got his first sack today, if I'm not mistaken. But. Yeah. But kudos to him, man. And they just kept applying the pressure that drive. We were sitting back. The ball was up there. I feel like we needed to play for the team. You know what I mean? So I was able to come down with it.
All right, Richie Grant. He was able to come down with the interception. Needed to play for the team, and he did it. Second year out of UCF. Big win over Georgia Tech. Heard the coach that broke during the game here, that Coach Collins was been relieved of his duties. We'll see which direction the Tech people go. A lot of people are saying, why don't they just call Deion Sanders up at Jackson State? And I was like, that makes sense. They automatically be in every five-star's room. Every five-star in Georgia, they'd be in the room right away. But we'll see if Georgia Tech is going to do that. Well, let's get back to the Falcons podcast. All right. Let's go over some of the defensive performers. And then we're going to go to your questions here and wrap it up here, episode 357. We got inside linebacker Rashard Evans. He had a career-high 12 tackles, 2 passes defense, and 1 hit tackle for loss. He almost had an interception. His previous high was 11 tackles in week 8 for Tennessee against Tampa Bay, October the 27th, 2019. Grady Jarrett had 5 tackles, 4 solos. And he had 3 tackles for loss, 1 quarterback sack, and one big quarterback sack, then a quarterback hit. He's had at least 1 sack in each of the last 4 meetings against the Seahawks, totaling 4.5 sacks. Mikael Walker finished with 9 tackles, 8 solo, 1 pass defense. He had 8 solo tackles. That was a career high for him. Richie Grant had 7 tackles, 6 solos, 2 passes defense, and 1 interception. It was the first of his career and sealed the victory. A.J. Terrell, he was balling out there. They caught a little pass on him his first one. But then after that, he was swatting balls all over the place. He had a great game today. They matched him up with D.K. D.K. caught one against the zone. I saw Hawkins was the closest one to him on that 18-yard touchdown pass. But AJ wasn't having it. He was not having DJ Metcalf. Let me see what he was held to. Metcalf had 5 for 64. You'll take that. He had 12 targets. So, that was good. And then AJ was batting him down. He had 6 tackles and he had a career high with 3 passes defense. And I mean, they were obvious. No little tug on one, but nothing major that would have drew a DPI. And all three were in the first half. So Lorenzo Carter finished with 2 tackles, 1 solo, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, and a QB hit. Casey Hayward had 6 tackles. Jalen Hawkins finished with 4 tackles and 3 solos. And then, you know, we got to give the special teams guys some love here. Youngway Koo was 2-2, including a 54-yarder. He became the eighth player to hit a field goal of at least 54 yards at Lumen Field. His 54-yard field goal on Sunday tied for the third longest kick at Lumen Field since it opened in 05. It used to be called CenturyLink. And then Bradley Pinion punted once for 73 yards and a 53-yard net average. Marked the longest punt of Pinion's career and the third longest punt in the franchise history. Well, there you have it. We went over the offensive and defensive stars, the highlights of the game and so forth. We're going to move on to our mailbag. And we have Daniel Solerson, the executive producer of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, is going to help us out with the mailbag. What do we have from the fans today, Daniel?
What's going on, D-Led? And of course, you can follow him on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. A few questions here for you. This one is a two-parter by BirdPlayHawks at Mr. _ Bplay. First, what's going on with the defense? And then the second question, is RB2 going to emerge, or are we just going to ride with CP, which is, of course, Cordarrelle Patterson? So first, what's going on with the defense? I thought the defense really stepped up. I know the numbers may not show it, but the defense coming up big at the end there to get the win. But what are you seeing from the defense? Are you seeing progress through the first 3 weeks?
They're seeing it in the pass rush, Daniel. They were able to get there late, which they didn't do in the first game against the Saints. You know, they needed a stop, and they didn't get there. The running numbers are concerning because people are going to try to run on you if you're giving up 5 yards of carry. So, and they got to play Nick Chubb and the Browns next week, and they're not throwing much, not with Jacoby Brissett. So Grady was right about that. You know, they're doing some different stuff. They did some different stuff today with that 4-4-3 over, getting, you know, three inside linebackers out there to go with, you know, the two outside guys. So my guys call it a 4-3 over. You could call it a 2-5, you know, with the outside linebackers being counted in the linebackers. But really, once you put the three linebackers in there, those outside linebackers turn into defensive ends. So, which, you know, that's flexible. Seems kind of complex with Ted Monachino being out. We hope Coach Ted, the outside linebacker coach, is back soon. You know, he's dealing with a personal matter also. Maybe he'll talk, but hopefully he'll get back and get back here and fine and everything. But yeah, that's what's going on with the defense. Got to stop the run. They didn't do that. 420 yards is too much, but they did come up with the big play. RB2, your RB2 is on the IR right now. It is Damian Williams. Tyler Algier, maybe it's going to come, but right now it don't look like he has the jets to get outside. It looked like he had some holes, but the linebackers were closing on him pretty fast. He averaged 3 yards a carry last week. Let's look at it here. 4.2, he had a good run, a 7-yard run up the middle. So he runs with power. He runs, you know, he runs tough. He ran real tough at BYU. But those outside runs, I don't know if he can get to the corner and get it upfield. I want to see him do that. He hasn't been able to so far. But 6 carries for 25 yards, 4.2. Right now, he's your RB2 because Damian Williams is out with the rib injury. He's got at least 2 more weeks on the short-term IR. So Avery Williams had 9 yards on a jet sweep. So that was good to see that they had him. And then, you know, they had Caleb Huntley on the practice squad. So the RB2 is on IR right now. And Algier is getting some opportunities to show his worth as a fifth-round pick out of Brigham Young.
All right, good stuff. Our next tweet comes from Al Scott at AlScott1998. Not a question, but Mikel Walker is having a great season despite flying under the radar. What are you seeing from him through 3 weeks, D-Led?
Yeah, real solid. Signal caller there. We've been singing his praises since exhibition season. Nothing but solid play from him. He almost had another interception today. He drifted back and got one last week against the Rams on Stafford. Almost had another one today. So, you know, they're playing a lot of zone, mixing it up, and he is instinctual. He's got great instincts in the zone coverages and does a good job of following the quarterback's eyes, which will take you to the ball as a linebacker. You got to That's all Jeff Ubrick used to talk about, the former linebacker coach. He was like, hey, linebackers got to play with their eyes. You know, if you don't see the ball, then you don't need to be going there. So Mikael Walker's doing a great job of that as a first-time starter, and he's off to a great start here in the 2022 season.
All right, last question from Mr. Rotten. Not really a rotten question or even anything, but it is a Twitter handle at Mr. Rotten American. He goes, why is there a drone? So take me back to that situation, D-Led. What was going through your mind when, one, they stopped play? Because you normally don't see a delay during a football game. But what were you hearing in the press box, and kind of what was going through your mind when you heard that there was a drone roaming around Lumen Field?
I've never seen the NFL security. You know, my first games were in the 80s at the Bengals. So I've been in a lot of these games, not consecutively, but that, you know, I've never heard a game being stopped by NFL security. You know, maybe they try to stay in the background. Even in Minnesota with the Super Bowl, and they had all the National Guards out and their rifles at the media center. The NFL said, that's too much. We need to, they like their security to be back in the shadows, so people feel comfortable coming out and so forth. So for them to stop a game, it had to be a very serious matter. They took care of it, and we got back to the football game, and nobody was fussing about it, at least on the Atlanta side. They're like, oh yeah, we got to stay safe. Grady said that, and so did Coach Smith. Now, some of the people went to the Washington-Stanford game last night and said it was a drone flying over there, too. So, you know, if you don't have approval to be flying in the airspace over the stadiums, you know, they are going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what type of fine or violation that is for folks. But I have seen some drone photos that were really, really cool. You know, I think the Minnesota game and so forth. So, you know, I guess once you have licensed drones shooting games, that might be pretty cool. But right now, right here today, that was not cool. Never heard NFL security stopping a game. And that's what happened here today. Cost the Falcons momentum. And if they lost the game, it would have been, I'm sure people would have been upset about the drone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jen Hale talked about it, that Washington game last night, that it was a Washington University of Washington drone and went rogue, and that's why it was flying over the field. So hopefully it wasn't one of their drones that went rogue again this afternoon, since they're pretty close. But yeah, hopefully that doesn't really happen again. But again, for questions next week after the Browns game, follow D-Led on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. That's it for the mailbag. D-Led, I'll let you wrap things up here.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. That was awesome. Appreciate you coming on and helping us out here with the mailbag as our executive producer. So with that, we're going to get on out of here. It's going to be a busy week for the Falcons. I understand they got a victory Monday, so we're not coach is going to be available. And we're going to have Trevin Gray out there, one of our interns from the University of Georgia. He's going to be following up our stories, and we'll be ready to get back out there on Wednesday. Been on the road here for a little while, but looking forward to getting back and getting to practice on Wednesday to see the Falcons as they start to get ready for the Cleveland Browns, who are 2-1 after their big win over the Steelers on Thursday night, which I watched on Amazon Prime on my phone, which, you know, people are, you know, taking to the streaming service stuff right now. It's actually kind of cool. So with that, Falcons, 1-2. After two close wins, two thrillers, they pull the victory out here in Seattle, 27-23. They are 1-2, heading into week 4 against the Cleveland Browns. 1 o'clock start at Mercedes-Benz Stadium next Sunday. Hope you all can make it, and certainly tune in to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Take care and have a great rest of your week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.